Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
And thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line with me?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And also, my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, we are.
Praise God. We thank God for allowing us to get back together. I know we're living through some uncharted times with this global pandemic, with what we call coronavirus or COVID in the year of our Lord 2019 that came upon this planet. And thank God that we're still have a reasonable portion of health and strength. Old Deacon used to say, and the blood's still running warm in my veins. And I was able to put one foot in front of the other. I was able to clothe myself and still in my right mind. And said I had some food on the table this morning and I had a place to lay down last night. Somebody going to say amen in a second. I had a roof over my head and thieves didn't break out and break in, and my family was still blessed and was still able to breathe in and breathe out on my own. And we thank God for keeping all of us during this time of global pandemic. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you. Another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you would bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Sheila G, Dr. G, just one of those few things that we just had to get a perspective that even as bad as it is, that God is still good. And what you have to do is, in times like these, we have to learn how to reflect back on what God has brought you through on a daily basis. Sometimes you can't go back but so far, but you just have to thank him for what he's done for you on today. And like we say at the beginning of all of our shows, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because if he made the day, then he's able to take care of the day. Sheila G?
Amen, amen. That's very, very true. God is truly good in season and out of season. And if you trust in him, you do not have to lean to your own understanding. And so you can still have that joy because you don't have to worry about tomorrow, as he said. He's like, I take care of the birds. I take care of the trees. So you know I'm definitely going to take care of you. And that's all that matters, that he will supply our every need. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, and that's the key to it is realizing that God is still supplying all of our needs. We know that people are concerned, and people are human, and we all have feelings and emotions. And Dr. G, I found out that there's nothing like a friend, like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. And he says, songwriter said, none else can heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. No, not one. And we have to all realize that we have a friend in Jesus who knows about our emotions because he came in the flesh and he walked this earth. And so he knows us from a human standpoint and he can identify with us. Dr. G.
You're right, and, you know, that's something that we have to keep in mind, just sitting and thinking. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and it's a good time. He's giving us time to really see where we are in the body of Christ, to test our faith. And if we come around and, you know, rather than complain about how bad it is, just continue to thank God for what we do have.
Amen, amen. And it all comes, and we talk about this often in our Bible study, it all comes out with our relationship with Jesus, a relationship with our Savior. And as we've been studying the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, we see one by the name of Saul, who would later be more known as Paul, is developing his relationship with God. And last time we were together, we were down at the 15th verse where God had instructed a certain disciple, that's what the Bible calls him, a certain disciple named Ananias, to go and to minister to Saul. And Saul was a great persecutor of the church. And God had prepared both of their hearts for the encounter. And that's what we were talking about, is how do we know that we are still that certain disciple? How can we be assured that we're a disciple that's willing to be used by God? And it's because you have a relationship with God. And when you have a relationship with God, then you can hear from God and you can do what he wants you to do in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what it feels like. And we see that this is what Ananias is doing. And because of the encounter that Saul had, he's trusting God to allow him to have a second chance. And, you know, we a lot of times look at stuff, Sheila G., from our own perspective. And sometimes our own perspective is short-sighted. Whereas God looks at the thing, he can see the beginning and the end at the same time. And so God has a plan for Saul. He has a plan for Ananias.
Mm-hmm.
He has a plan for us, even as we study the Bible, even as we go through our lives. And we have to realize that when we're in certain situations, that there's somewhere that God is doing something. And as we're up in verse 15, and if you study the rest of this chapter, all the way down in, I believe what verse it was, but there's a verse where it says that the church, after Saul was converted and preached and endured some things, that the church enjoyed a time of joy and peace. And so all this turmoil that went on was so that, I believe it's verse 31. So we're up in verse 15 and verse 31. It says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And so all of this encounter with Saul on the street called Straight, all of this encounter with him on the road to Damascus, all of this encounter with him falling from his eye, falling from his horse, his high horse, all of this dealing with Ananias and all the things that Saul went through as far as persecution, his conversion, as far as all of the people that witnessed to him, was to get to verse 31 where it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were what? Multiplied. And so in order for the church to have rest in Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, in order for the church to be edified, in order for the church to walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and in order for the church to be multiplied, all of this had to go on. And I'm so thankful for the word because it lets you know that our ministering and our discipling, the situations that we go through are not in vain because God has the ultimate plan. So who would ever think that all of this had to go on in all of these verses and all these chapters for us to get to verse 31 to where the church had rest, the church was edified, the church was walking in the fear of the Lord and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied. Sheila G.
Amen. You know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking back to one of the messages that our mom preached, and it was, you have to go through to get through. And that's exactly what talking about here is that, you know, everything that went through from the beginning part of Acts, when, and even with Saul persecuting the Christians, Ananias saying, really, Lord, you want me to tell him about you, but God preparing him to receive that word, him going blind, going through all that, so that going through it to get through so the church could be edified. And that was what Ma was preaching about in her and that message was that you got to go through to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't go through, you can't get to what the end's going to be. You're not going to be able to see that if you give up and you don't want to go through it. Everybody just wants, well, let's say everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. You know, it's like you got to go through. Then God will be glorified because if we don't, we can't give him the glory. We'll give glory to ourselves.
Amen, amen. And Dr. G, in this time of a pandemic, you know, a lot of times people they get tired of having to go through. They get tired of being shut in. They get tired of waiting on God to resolve this thing. And they get a little antsy, and they get a little upset, and they get a little irrational. But at every time we have that feeling or do those things, we have to look at the word of God to say that God has a plan, and we have to humble ourselves enough to be able to stick to the word, stick to what God wants us to do as nations and nations around the world are affected by this, is we need to turn to God and stick to God's plan to realize that through the suffering, through the trials, through the tribulation, that God wants his people to be edified. But we have to, like the sermon Sheila was talking about, is we had to go through to get through. But we have to, as a people, turn to God and stay the course of God, because ultimately his plan will come through fruition, and we'll be blessed, and he will get the glory. Dr. G?
Well, you're right. And, you know, for me, it's a time, you know, I mentioned testing before. Sheila was saying you got to go through to get through. But you're right. You know, we as a people don't want to go through anything. You know, we want it now. And I found that the blessings come after you've gone through something and the Lord has brought you through. But the problem with folk are, you know, we're still playing games. You know, we're still going through the motions. I mean, if nothing else, it's showing those that are real and those that are not. The ones that are just going through the motions are playing games with God. I mean, you look at all of these so-called protests that have started up all of a sudden, and they're ignored by Trump. Then he comes back and said, well, we need to stick with the stipulations. You know, it's all a game. Mm-hmm. And Christians have to, those of us that say that we love the Lord, you know, we've got to come to the point where we understand that, yeah, we're you know, it's a little hard time. We can't get in the building. But you can still honor the Lord and you can still give God that doesn't stop. You know, if anything, it reminds us that the church is not the building. The church is in us, or it should be us, and we have to come to grips with that.
Amen.
Amen. And we have to understand that old saying, no test, no testimony.
Right.
And this Bible that we are blessed to have, It illustrates us the test that God's people went through. It illustrates to us the testing that we went through or that they're going through. And to see how God resolves it, so you can have a testimony to say, hey, this is what happened, this is what it looked like, this is what we were up against.
Mm.
But God came through. You know, that song by... I forget the lady's name, but she said their song says, "Won't he do it?"
Yeah.
yes, he will.
Yeah.
And he'll fight your battle, and you'll understand. I think the chorus said, "You'll look back and be so amazed of what God has done." And in the life of Saul, Saul was never the same. He had this encounter with God, and God orchestrated his recovery, and God orchestrated his relying on others to help him and to assist him. And, you know, later on in this chapter, you'll see how Saul, once he turned to Jesus, was converted, they tried to kill him. And so when we pick up in verse 16, we left off in verse 15, but I'll read verse 15, Acts 9:15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, he's talking to Ananias, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And he told Ananias, he comforted him and said, go and minister to him because I chose him, and he's going to minister to the Gentiles and the children of Israel. And in verse 16, he tells Ananias that this fella that persecuted this fella that had a zeal to persecute the church, he's going to have to go through some things. And so in verse 16, he says, but I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing about the ministry. That's one thing about being a disciple, is that God never promised, Sheila G., that the road would be easy.
He never
promised that we would not have any persecution or any struggles. The only thing that he promised is that he would be with us.
Be right there with
us. He put that in the Great Command, you know, in Matthew. He said that, you know, lo, I'll be with you always, even till the end of the world. But he didn't promise that it was going to be easy. And so in ministry, when you're in ministry, you'll suffer things and you'll go through things, and none of us are exempt from going through. And we see in today's time where we have people that are suffering, we have people that are going through, but God is still with us. And when we realize that when God says if we suffer with him, that we'll reign with him, that there's a reason in the going through. There's a reason in the suffering. Because what happens is we learn to rely on God.
Come on.
And we learn to understand that man is limited, not to rely on man. Man will let you down. And then ultimately when we rely on God, God will bring us through. And then we'll have a greater testimony of I had to surrender everything. I had to humble myself over to God. I had to trust him. And I found out that God is for real and that God can do all things. Sheila G.
Amen. And you know, and that message is throughout the Bible in so many ways. If we just have a relationship with him and study that, he is repeatedly says, Satan's real. You're going to go through, but if you trust me, I'll bring you out. In fact, I've been every week sending out inspirational messages, Pastor and I, to our congregation, and I sent out, the Lord gave me this week today, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 10, and it speaks to today. There's nothing new under the sun. It speaks to about Paul, because it says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. That says everything that you just said. We're going to go through. Satan is looking to put you through. You're not by yourself, but you got to be sober-minded, be ready for it. You got to be steadfast, meaning you can't waver based off what man says. You got to have the stronger faith. And guess what? I'm going to bring you out with all power. So Satan may have power, but the Lord has power and authority, and he gives that power and authority of us. If we stand fast, we recognizing that he's coming after us, being prepared by prayer and studying, when Satan does come to devour us, that's why he talks about the fellowship in that scripture where he says, because you're not going with it, other people are going to go through too. But the more you come together and trust in me, the more powerful you're going to be, and we'll be able to bring you out.
Amen, amen. That's a powerful word. And the word is clear. And this is what Ananias got. And this is what we as disciples, or certain disciples, as he describes in this chapter. The word is clear. And we have to make sure, like we start off with our prayer on Thursdays, that we will be blessed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly. Rightly dividing the word of truth, and when you can rightly divide the word of truth, or get the word and respond to the word, then what happens is you won't be going in the wrong direction or led astray. And so here Ananias got the word from God, and so now he's got the word from God. He understands the word of God. Now he can rightly do what God asked him to do. A lot of times when you have a shallow knowledge of God, it's easier for the enemy to deceive you and get you in your emotions and your feelings, and get you to go about things the wrong way. But Ananias had the right relationship with God, and he talked to God, he prayed with God, and because he had that clarity in that relationship, what happens in verse 17 is he's obedient to God. And in verse 17 he says, and Ananias went his way. In other words, he went and did what God told him, explained to him what he should do. And oh for people that would do what God wanted them to do. And I love this, Dr. G. He said, went his way. In other words, he stayed in his lane and he did what God wanted him to do. But Dr. G, too many times I think people get out of their lane. We have people in leadership, in the highest government, in leadership, in churches, and where God knows that they don't have the gift or the skill or the talent, and yet they jump in the way and get in the way, and they just mess things up, and it takes longer to get to where God wants us to be. And if people could have a relationship with God and learn to stay in their lane, stay in their gifting, and do what God told them to do, then we can get to the place that God wants us to be a lot faster. Dr. G.
Well, you know, it's true, and it sounds good, and I wish to God we could. But we are just not made that way. We're hard-headed. We think we know best. And once the devil jumps on that, Satan will jump on that in a minute. And once he starts, you know, pricking with that and filling our heads with a whole bunch of stuff, then we kind of waver. We go to the left or the right. But if we could just take what the Lord tells us to do, you know, mm-hmm. life would be so much easier. I've seen so many people who, you know, they start off on a good foot, but then they get caught up mm-hmm. trying to do it their way. And what I love about this story, because as you said, you know, Saul was rough in the beginning, but the Lord had to take him off his high horse, set him down, but the Lord was also working with another one, which was Ananias. Mm-hmm. And once he mm-hmm. got Ananias' attention mm-hmm. and to the point where, okay, I got you, Lord, then he went on and did what he had to do.
Amen.
God, and, you know, as you said, God has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
But we get in the way of the plan, and we think we know best.
Amen.
Amen. And so clearly in verse 17, Ananias went his way. He entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul," and you know you've got to be converted and changed when you can call someone who was persecuting the church
right.
brother. He
mm-hmm.
called him Brother Saul. In other words, he knew that the Lord had saved him. He knew that,
uh-huh.
that God had called him and that he was going to suffer great things. And he called him Brother Saul.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared mm-hmm. unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, in my own mind, I can see where this could have went bad.
Yeah.
Where, and I don't know, I've grown up with color folk all my life, where somebody came in the house and called you brother, you could have broke bad and said, "I ain't your brother, get away from me." But start battling the blessing. I call it battling the blessing. The blessing's coming and you battling the blessing. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't receive it because somebody didn't say good morning to you, didn't call you
hey.
The right brother or the right sister. But
mm-hmm.
but both of them were prepared. They
yeah.
both prayed up. And so
right.
when he called him Brother Saul, he didn't break bad with him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ananias gave the right message. The Lord, even Jesus, had appeared unto thee in the way. And so I can imagine Saul saying, "How do you know about what was going on in the way? As thou camest and sent me,
right.
that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled
mm-hmm.
with the Holy Ghost." And he could have broke bad, talking about, "What ghost? You trying to scare me? What's going
mm-hmm.
on with this ghost and all of this?" And you know, you see people when you're trying to minister to them, sometimes when you go out witnessing, and people got all kind of excuses. They got all kind of negativity. They got all kind of reasons why they don't believe in this Jesus. They don't believe this. If Jesus was this, why would I not have sight? If Jesus had this, why would I be in this situation? And it doesn't go the way God would want it to go because they're not let God lead. Sheila G, it's this encounter where he's getting a message from one of God's disciples to
mm-hmm.
go and to minister and do great things for God, but he
right.
had to have the right attitude to receive it. And a lot of times
yep.
people won't
yep.
receive the blessing. Like I said, it's battling the blessing that's coming their way. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's why we have to be attention and pay attention to when God is speaking or revealing things to us. Because up to this point, if you start at the beginning of chapter 9, when he first was blinded, God was starting to prepare things then, because he's like, "Who are you and what are you doing?" And then Jesus said,
mm-hmm.
"Why you persecute me?" So he got that first encounter and was like, okay, he was getting now. He was being in bed until that happened, persecuting Christians. But then, so he's preparing Saul on one side. Then the other side, you have Ananias, if you look back into the 13th verse, and he's telling
mm-hmm.
Ananias to go talk to Saul. Ananias knows that Saul's a murderer. So he says, "I've heard many reports about this man.
Mm-hmm.
all the harm he has done to the holy people in Jerusalem, and he's come, and you want me to go? And Jesus comes, God, the Holy Spirit says, yes, because I have prepared him. So he's laying it out, and that's why it's important for us to always be on alert, to be sober, as I said in 1 Peter, because God will reveal and he'll prepare us for the next step. But we can't skip a step.
Amen.
We can't jump over it, because if he didn't listen to the Lord, if neither one of them had listened to the Lord by the time it came to this point, you're right. Once Ananias would be like, I have seen what this man will do and who he's done. I am not going to his house to kill me. And then Saul being blind, if he hadn't been listening, being in right spirit with the Lord, he would have, like you said, flicked off and said, how you walking up in here and going to lay hands on me and call me brother? I don't know you. But God laid that out, and they listened. And even when you read 17 in the NIV, it says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. So he's Ananias is like verifying, how they trust, verify. He's verifying that God sent me, because he's disclosing to him the experience that he had, and Saul still had received that experience. So it touched his spirit and has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So God just laid it all out, but we as people have to know God's ear, know when the Lord is speaking to us, not so much on emotions, but spirit to spirit.
Amen, amen. And as you look at this, you can see, like I said, what's happening today in today's world, is that people have salvation, and it's sort of like in the Old Testament where they were getting bit by snakes, and Moses put a stick up in the air, and you see it on most of the ambulances that are in the United States, where they have a serpent on a stick, and a lot of people don't even recognize it. But in order for them to get healed, they had to look up, and all they had to do was look up, and they were healed. And so in today's society, the Holy Spirit is right here.
Right.
He's ready to restore you, renew you. The blood of Jesus is here to cover you. And when the word comes, all you have to do is receive it. But people are stiff-necked, and they won't look up. And so I forget how many – I have to go back and rehearse the story in the Old Testament. I forget how many people died because they wouldn't look up. I mean, they told them, if you look up at this serpent on a stick, you'll be healed. And the Holy Spirit is here. And I tell people when they have this opportunity to give their lives to Christ, it's right here. It's present. All you have to do is receive it. And when Ananias says in the second part of that verse, he says, he has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's ready to receive it. And in verse 18, what does it say? It says in Acts 9:18, and immediately there fell from his eyes, it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And this is how close the Spirit of God is to those that are lost, and it draws at you, gnaws at you, Dr. G, that people have the Holy Spirit right here, ready to empower them, to work with them, but they won't look up and they won't receive it for whatever reason, whatever the roadblocks or the deception or the distractions of the world back then and now. Is there? They don't want to. I don't know if they don't want to, or if it's a combination they don't want to, or they don't believe that the Holy Spirit is there, ready to empower them to be disciples and workers for God. Dr. G.
Well, I think you hit on it. A great deal of it is the fact that they don't really believe it. We talked about that relationship with the Lord. I mean, you have to really have to have gone through something for your relationship with the Lord to grow. And when you look at this story, you see how the Lord took Saul, put him on his knees, lost his sight, to the point where he couldn't do nothing but be dependent on the Lord. And then here comes Ananias, somebody who really didn't want to go, but the Lord had to get his attention. So they believed after God, as you said, you know, he laid it out the way he wanted it. But even when God lays things out for us, we don't want to be obedient. You know, we have believed that this is of the Lord. A lot of folks don't believe that the Lord is in control of COVID-19. God is in control. And he's not only dealing with the pandemic, but here comes the weather, the bad weather on top of all of that. People are dying, but yet people still don't believe. A lot of these preachers don't want to be obedient. What they do, they go ahead and have services. And what happens? Then they come along and they die. So God is not playing, but people have got to get to the point where they totally surrender their all to him and believe in what he's telling us right now. And until we get to that, we're never going to be where we should be.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that's the thing about God is he wants us. And during this period of in theological study, they call it a dispensation. A dispensation is a period of time where God's doing something. And right now we're under the dispensation of grace. So these things that are happening in this pandemic are so that people can receive God's grace. That he wants them to go through something, get knocked off their high horse. To understand that man it can't handle it or can't do anything about it. You're looking at 25 million people unemployment, seeking for unemployment. You're looking for trillions and trillions of dollars that people are fighting over money and you know they're saying that the famine and the weather will become worse and worse. And so during this period of time of grace, God is allowing people to go through something so that they will respond to his grace. And the dispensation is there's a period of time where the window is open. There's going to come a time where the hand of grace will be withdrawn, and then there will be a tribulation period. And so these things happen. These challenges happen in people's lives to a place where they are humbled and they're willing to receive God and they're willing to receive his grace and to be able to see the songwriter said, "Amazing grace, I once was lost but now I'm found, was blind but now I see." Sheila G.
Amen. It's like he's just standing at that door and knocking. And then he silenced the world so that everybody in the world can hear him knock. But you still have the choice as to whether or not you're going to open that door and let him in. But he has quieted everyone, sent everybody home, allowed not just the weather but the pandemic and everything to see how weak man is. You know, we got to this point where we thought we were so powerful. We had this technology going on. You had money, and he's just showing it doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter about power. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO or the person that's out front, you know, serving McDonald's. We're all the same. We're all, from a human standpoint, the same. The only thing that is steadfast and unmovable is God. And he is showing that because from the powerful to the rich to the poor, everybody is suffering in some way. And God is just revealing that. And he's standing at that door and knocking to the point where you have to hear it. So you can hear it and ignore it, or you can hear it and open the door and let him in. If you open the door and let him in, you can have peace, you can have joy, you can have hope. If you don't, you're going to be confused, because that's what we're seeing now is those that don't know the Lord, it's just a huge of confusion, just confusion. It's like saying one thing one day, one thing the other. And if you are not steadfast and movable, sober-minded, and focused on God, you would be confused and you would feel hopeless. But our hope is in nothing less but Jesus Christ And that's why he's knocking on that door, giving everybody an open opportunity to walk through it.
Amen. Like I said, the hand of grace is extended during this dispensation when God's doing something. It is the dispensation that came after the dispensation of the law, which was Saul was dealing with. But at the dispensation end of grace, it means that you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. And that's what Paul, before he really was being called Paul, was dealing with. And so now God is teaching him about grace. And so at the end of grace, the dispensation of grace, the church will be raptured or moved from this earth, and there will be a tribulation period. And so this is what God is trying to say. All right, you went through the law. The law was a perfect law that no man could live except Jesus Christ. And that was to let you know that you needed Jesus, you know, let you know that you came up short. There's no way you could live it because you were all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so what God did was through Jesus, he came and instituted this dispensation of grace. And so that if you believe in him, that God no longer looks at you through your righteousness, but he looks at you through the righteousness of his son. And so that's where grace comes in. And Jesus paid the price that we couldn't pay. And so here, Saul is finally getting this and understanding it through ministry from certain disciples or one of Ananias. And so now that he has received that and he's baptized and he's doing the things that God has left on record for us to do. The scales fell from his eyes. He received his sight and arose and was baptized. And then his next part of the journey is that he received meat and he was strengthened.
Yep.
And God will renew your strength and God will give you the empowerment. When Jesus was hungry for 40 days in the wilderness and he came out after he was tempted by Satan, Satan said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones be made of bread. And he responded back. He said that it is written that every man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And so he was prepared by the Holy Spirit when he entered into ministry to be able to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And so here we see that Saul is not only prepared spiritually, but he's also prepared to walk in the flesh, relying on the Spirit to represent God. And that's what a disciple has to do, is that realize that we are in the flesh, but we have God's Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And so we can walk in the flesh, as long as we rely on the Holy Spirit, we can represent and let the light that's in us shine so that we can represent God the right way. And so after that physical, after the spiritual renewal, he got the physical renewal. So the spiritual body was renewed, the physical body was renewed. And then he went on to minister. And verse 20 says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Sheila G.
Amen. And that was just like a total turnaround. Once you have that true encounter with the Lord and you go through to get through and you turn your life 100%, that's that whole thing where the invitation to discipleship at where we open the doors of the church. Once you step through that door, that's why we say to people, it doesn't matter what your past was. It doesn't matter what you did before. God, if you believe and you confess that you believe and you take that initial step and you grab Jesus and grab God by the hand and that faith, it doesn't matter what was done in the past, because you can have that complete turnaround and trust in God. Man will say, I believe it when I see it. That person, I know what that person did, and I know what they used to be. Mm-hmm. Ain't no way they're going to turn their life around from. And man is quick to judge people, even when they still mess up. But God is not like that. And you see that with Saul. He was killing Christians. But now he's turned around. Once he accepted the Lord Jesus in his life, was baptized, turned his life around, now that same energy and that same power that he was to persecute Christians, he's on the battlefield for the Lord.
Amen.
And that's exactly what it is when you accept Christ in your life, truly accept him in your life.
Amen, amen. And that is that journey that Paul had from, you know, verse 1 of this chapter to verse 19 and verse 20, where he straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, and he said that Christ is the Son of God. So he went from this conversion of, you know, persecuting the church and, wearing, you know, the Christians out and hauling them off bound, to
mm-hmm.
having this experience that now he's the one
yep.
that's preaching Christ in the uh-huh. synagogue, that he is the Son of God. And, you know, that there was a song, I forget the guy's name, was B.B. Wine, and, you know, who'd ever thought I'd get to know you this way? And in his song, he was saying that, you know, he was this way, he was that way, and he would laugh. You know, he'd say, I heard folks talk about the things you done. And he said, I'd just laugh and walk away. But
mm-hmm.
he said, who would ever thought that I get to know you this way? And so now Paul has gotten to know Jesus that way. And,
right.
And you know, all of us had our moments where we were like, yeah, okay, I believe, mm-hmm, right. So we got to know him and to know him for ourselves. And now
exactly.
we're like some of the ex, you know, if you're an ex-smoker or ex-drinker or ex-whatever.
Yep.
And you were changed and you were delivered. Now
mm-hmm.
now you're some of the most ardent people that goes against the smoking, the drinking, the drugging, and all of the stuff of the world because you've had this encounter. And it's like, who would have thought I'd ever get to know you this way, you know? I didn't know that it
mm-hmm.
could be like this. And
right.
and so, you know, here's Saul from verse 1 to verse 20 saying, hey, this thing is for real. It's on and popping. I'm going to preach Christ in the synagogue, that Jesus is the Son of God. Hey, this ain't no plaything, y'all. This thing is for real. I'm not telling you what I heard, but I'm telling you what I know. Sheila
right.
G.
Yeah, and it's all. That's why we always talk about it being a personal relationship with you and the Lord. You cannot be converted based off somebody else's relationship. That conversion happens between you and God, but you got to be open to it. You got to be willing to believe and trust, and God will come right in, and you will have your own spiritual encounter that cannot be explained by anybody but you and the Lord. And then you just step by step, then you grow and you make that change, and your life is converted. So that's why we can't judge other people, because my encounter with God is different
mm-hmm.
than your encounter with God, which is different from somebody else's. But we all have that opportunity to put our hands in his hands and make that turn and that change in our lives. And that's why one of my pet peeves is when people start judging, because you didn't come out born as a baby
mm-hmm.
trusting
mm-hmm.
and by grace. You know, you went through life and you had to make that personal decision yourself and then turn that way, because we're in the flesh, we're full of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that you have to do every single day. You know, you can't just hit a scripture once a month and think that you're not be tempted by the enemy. No, you have to truly be sober-minded, but that is a personal relationship between you and the Lord. When you and the Lord make up your minds together that we're going to walk this thing, I'm going to trust in you, and you grow day by day. Still growing to this day, every single day. You know, you go, this is like the experience that we're having now. I can never imagine
mm-hmm.
experiencing something like that. But I have the peace
mm-hmm.
of mind about and trusting in him because of that relationship that I have with him, that I've seen him bring me through stuff before. So it's like, okay, Lord, here we go again, but I'm just going to trust in
mm-hmm.
you. I'm going to do what I can do, realizing that I have no power without you.
Amen, amen. We're going to go to the phone lines, and we're going to ask the question tonight. Has your test turned into a testimony? Have your testing turned into a testimony for the Lord. We're going to go to the first caller. Last four digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, my testing that I've gone through have definitely turned into a testimony. God has shown me what he could do. First of all, if it wasn't for his grace, I wouldn't be where I am today. And it was so many times where I just couldn't see my way, and I prayed, and God, he done the impossible. I know only God could have done it, from raising my child up to where I am right now. And I'm still leaning and trusting and depending on him to bring me through. And even with this COVID-19, sometimes it gets, you know, being in the house, you get a little bit tired, you want to go out, you're used to a certain amount of freedom. But I ask God, you know, to strengthen me, you know, to calm me down. Don't let these walls start coming in on me, you know, to calm me down and to, you know, keep me stayed in him, keep my mind stayed on him. And not on so much of what's going on in this world, because this is a reality. And when you look at and you think about how yesterday is, and then you look at it today, and it was like in a twinkling of an eye, in a second, you know, man was like he was walking with prosperity and everything was going good, and then all of a sudden, bang. It just hits you. And that's the way it is in life. And Jesus wants us to know that, you know, be prepared, because, you know, he's coming back. You know, when we least expect that, he's coming back. And so we need to be prepared. We never can get so comfortable with life and conditions in this world that we feel like we got it made, everything is good.
Mm-hmm.
Our mind should not be focused on this world here, but where we are going once we leave here. We know that we are of this world. We live in this world, okay? But we also know that we have to stay focused on heavenly things. And so it's only through prayer and asking the Lord to help me, to strengthen me every day, to get me where I need to be. I can't do it in my own strength and in my own power. And I know if it hadn't been for the Lord on my side, because there have been days when I didn't have food, I didn't have money, I didn't have job, I was sick. And my child was sick. And I've seen God work miracle after miracle after miracle. And it was days when I went through depression. It was days when I didn't know the Lord, that God stepped in my life and he changed me around in the course of these 70-some years. So I know it's the grace of God that has kept me, and it's the grace of God that will continue to keep me. So, yes, I need him every day. I have not arrived. I need his grace and his love every day.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. I'm going to go to the next caller. Last four digits. 6309, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, my test has been a testimony because God has shown me who he is. When I first realized that I couldn't do nothing without him, and he showed me who he is and what he can do and what he will continue to do. All I have to do is believe in him, turn away from them wicked ways, and depend on him, and he takes care. He takes care of everything for me. I've had times without no food, without no money, and I had a child also, but I had help from my family. But later on in my life, I've been through some stuff, and he brought me through it. He told me that he was going to take care of me, and I've been listening to him ever since. He is a good, loving, kind God. All he wants us to do is depend on him, love him, believe in him, and trust him. That's all you got to do. And he's going to make a way. He showed me that he will make a way. And I believe in him. I trust in him. And I was almost like Paul. He had to knock me on my behind too, you know, and did certain things. Yeah, he didn't blind me, but he did something. Yeah, oh yeah, I got a book with him. But you learn from your experience. If this is what you want, and this is the life that I want, this is the life I choose, and I don't care what come up, I'm going to continue to believe and trust and lean on him because he is my Savior, and he really saves. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. 3343, you're on
there. Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I haven't been with God a long time. And sometime I got smart and thought I was bigger than I was. And he had sometime come along and tell me where my pants was supposed to be at and knock me to my knees. And then straighten me back up and put me on the road and get me straight again. And he'd let me know that I'm behind you and I'm watching you all the time. You keep on going. And this stuff that's going today, I can see him walking right beside me. And I can hear him talking to me, just keep on walking. And I said, oh, yeah, but I'm not even worried about this at all. I know I got him with my side, but just the idea that he had knocked me to my knees, and like he did saw, like he said, and put your eyes on him and to let you know where you are. You're not grown yet. You're with me. And this kind of stuff we got today, I just live with him, roll with him. I get a cough off and on here and there, but it doesn't matter because I know I got him with me. And it's so thrilling morning when you look up and see daylight and you're coming through the window and you know good and well you're still here. So I know I'm with him. I'm test every day. I test myself to make sure that I got the right thing. I stay on the right track with God. As long as I can, as long as you let me stay here, I'm doing good. I feel real good. Thank you very much. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1510. 1510, you're on the air. All right, we're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 5310. 5310, you're on there.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
In my life, I have had, I've been tested several times. I've been to the point where I felt like, but I don't believe it really was, where the bottom had fell out, but that was the time when I had to really lean and trust in God, and he was able to bring me through. But first he had to test me to see if I was willing to suffer to go through first. And then once I prayed and I asked him to help me, he has been with me ever since. And I just thank the Lord for what he is doing, what he has done, and what he will continue to do in my life. And, yes, right now things look like we have never been here before. We have never seen this before. But the Lord knows all. And with him and with prayer and keeping our eyes and our mind stayed on him, we will make it through. Because the Lord has brought us through thus far. He will continue to keep us safe and sound as long as we keep our eyes and our hearts and our minds stayed on him and look to the hills in which cometh our help. So we got to look up. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 8803. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My test was I had a job, and I'll say now I was blessed with the job. I stayed on the job 18 years, and the people were so evil. But I prayed, and I came out victoriously. But if I had not been on that job, I don't think I would have learned how to pray so hard because I had to meet the devil. devil every morning. And I just was praying and praying and praying.
Amen.
And I was blessed, and I'm still blessed. But I'm awfully thankful that I had that job, because it sure kept me praying.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1934. 1934,
you're on air. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good afternoon.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I did to all of us see it tonight on our Bible study. And I learned through reading our Bible study that God can use any of us. Makes no difference what you have done. It's what you do once you come to Him. So I learned that, and I learned, too, that he has never left me. I know that for a fact, because he's been in and out of things with me all through my years, and I have to obey him, I have to trust him, and I have to keep faith in him, and don't let nobody get your faith, because people can do that. And as long as we have this flesh, we have to fight hard to keep Satan away from ourselves, because even though it's like on an analysis, God had to say to him three times what he wanted him to do, and that was nothing but flesh, because flesh is sinful, and as long as we have it, we're going to always be fighting with it. And it's a good thing to have a wonderful relationship with God, and it's a good thing our analysis had a relationship with him, with God, so that he could go through and do what he wanted after once he tried to fight him. You know, we always try to think we can do something, and he lets us know that we can't do nothing by ourselves. He made us, and he's going to lead us and guide us and teach us what to do. And I pray hard every day that God will never leave me, which he hasn't, and I don't think he ever will. If anybody leaves anybody, it would be me leaving him, and I don't plan on doing that.
Amen.
And I just thank God that this lesson shows me how it does make no difference what people do. That's the back. But when you come to him, it's such a sweet thing. It's so sweet to know Jesus. His name is so powerful. Just by itself,
amen,
his name, just saying Jesus, makes you feel so good inside. And don't make no difference what comes up around you. Even this virus thing out here. I have joy in that. I have joy. I have peace. I'm not worried about that, because I know the blood of Jesus is going to protect me from that virus. And I understand why it's here. God, if people would just change their minds back to him, they'll be all right. And they won't be thinking about all that foolishness out there in the street, talking about going, a whole gang of people going out and doing things. They will be listening to God, because they got a mind. God give us a mind, and he also give us common sense, so that we will know that he's in the midst of all of this, and prayer is the only thing he's going to do, because he's going to do his will, regardless of what we want to say about it or do about it, just like he did with Saul. Got on that road and turned him around and let him know that he was God. He was God all by himself. He can do anything he want to do. And he uses anyone that he wants to do. So we have to be thankful and think before we go out there saying, it's doing this and doing that. God got this. And just like you say, just like she said, God will do it. And his will be done. Thank you. Amen.
That's amen. Right.
And talk
to amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 5904. 5904, you're on air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, listen to everyone give their test and their testimony. It brought up a lot of things that I could talk about, but I'm not going to do it. But one thing I can say, that God had to teach me to allow others to come to my aid, because I used to be the one that when somebody needed something, I was always there. And I remember when I went through my divorce and My kids were taken away for a little while. I thought I was in the world by myself, and I cried and prayed and did everything. But I just couldn't get nothing to come my way. And then one night I remember talking to my sister. She would say, remember, joy comes in the morning, and look towards the hills where the health comes from. And I kept thinking and thinking, and next thing I know, I was praying. I asked God to help me, and before you know it, it had been all night, just me and him. And when the sun came up, I felt so much better because now he has shown me that it's okay to accept help, because it was hard to do when you're the giver all the time. So he had to make me humble and to get me to understand that when he sends people my way, it may not be who I want, but it's who he sent to do his job. And that's what he did, and I'm thankful, very blessed that he opened up my eyes that it's okay to accept help when he sends help to do his will.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1411. 1411, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, definitely my, probably within the last couple of years, I definitely would say that my test has become a testimony. I think we all can agree that, you know, it seems like we really don't start to get attacked, or we really don't start to really go through some significant times in our life up until when we decide that we want to be a Christian and follow Jesus Christ and live that life according to the word of God. And it literally used to just boggle my mind that I was seeing people out here not going to church, not involved in the Christ, and it seemed like they didn't have a care or worry in the world. But it seems as soon as I turned my life over to the Lord, I started being attacked. I started seeing things, you know, things started happening. But then I realized, and I think you guys touched on it earlier, if you want to get through heaven, sometimes you're going to have to go through hell to get there. You know, you'll have friends turn on you. People will talk about you. Family may turn on you and abandon you. You'll go through things on your job. You'll even start to question yourself, like, is this the right thing? Can I really do this every day, all day, up until when I'm supposed to die, and continue to go to church and try to get better? And then also not only worry about myself, I got to bring people along. I got to try to help people out when I'm looking for help most of the time. So it definitely becomes an internal struggle. But I think the more that I accepted it and the more I embraced the responsibility that comes with it, that's when I started to see the whole picture and things started to slow down for me in a spiritual way. And then most importantly, I didn't make it about myself. You know, when we talk about testimony, it's one thing to give honor and glory to God and thank him for all that he's done, but it's another thing to realize the value in all of our testimonies, because guess what? There have been some things that I've gone through that wasn't through me going through it. It was the fact that somebody was brave enough and had the courage enough to say, hey, this was a storm I went through and God delivered me. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in that storm now. So you start to listen to the sleepless nights, and you start to listen to the phone calls that aren't getting answered, and you feel like you're kind of abandoned. And then, as you guys stated, you know, you look to the hills for which come of your help, and God will bring you through. So once I realized the power of testimony, how it not only frees us from spiritual bondage and it allows us to thank the Lord, it also is something that somebody who may be too scared or too timid to speak up may be going through or may need to hear that. And you never know. Somebody could be suicidal. Somebody could be turned into substance abuse. Somebody could be going through anything in this world, and your testimony has the power to bring them out of it, whether you know it or not, or whether you believe it or not. But definitely, you know, the things that I've endured and the things I've gone through, I've tried to learn from them. I try to make sense of them. I've tried not to have repeat accounts where I'm going through the same storm twice, but there's always something to gain and always something to learn from being tested, because, again, it helps you prepare for the next test. I know that there were battles that I've gone through and tests that I've had in my lifetime. They've actually prepared me for future tests to come, where these tests may not take as long, or they may not knock me down. They may knock me and I may sway a little bit, but I'm strong. And I realized, like, you know what, had I not gone through those things a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this test probably would have been my ultimate demise. But, you know, we have to be cognizant that we've got to learn from these tests, and we have to continue to grow, and we're going to continue to be tested, because God doesn't want any weak Christians. He doesn't want any Christians to just talk a good game, and then when adversity comes or adversity rises, we turn around and run, or we go to man first, or we go to social media, or we go to all these other outlets, when God should be the first person that we look to and then that we go to. So, I mean, it's definitely a struggle, especially in the midst of everything that's going on, but this is what the Bible talks about. This is what we all talk about and prepare for. So we shouldn't be surprised when we're faced with things and there's a big concern of the unknown and how long and what am I going to do and all these things. But this is what we prepare for when we talk about Sunday school. This is what we prepare for when we call in on the prayer service line. What are you doing when your back's against the wall? What are you doing when it seems like the world is crumbling around you? Are you going to speak up? Are you going to step up? Because this is what God is paying attention to, and he's definitely watching. A lot of people I know feel abandoned, feel like God has deserted us. God hasn't gone anywhere. God is paying attention, and God knows all, and God has got this. But trust and believe, how we act now is going to set the tone for when we actually come out of this. And I've taken this time to spiritually get better, to look at myself in the mirror, to figure out what it is that I need to do to be a better Christian and be a better person overall. But again, we should all be thankful, not only as we go through this, but when we get through this, there should be tons of testimonies, because I'm sure a lot of people are going to have some serious talks with themselves and some serious talks with the Lord to make sure that when you two were going into it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone. Pastor, could you repeat the question, please?
Yes. The question is, have your testing given you a testimony?
Have your testing given you a testimony?
Given you a testimony, yes.
It certainly has. It certainly has. And it's been many, many, many times and over. And after you have had all those tests, it makes you stronger in your faith, because you come out victorious. When God tests, that's how you know it's God. That's how you know you are being tested by him, and your faith and your belief in him gives you the testimony. You can't get around it. It goes hand in hand, and he provides you everything you need when you are being tested, and that is his word. If you stand on it, if you believe it, and each time that you go through that test and you come out victorious, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt why, when, where, and how. But the bottom line is, only God can do this.
Amen.
You know for a fact that that's God. And it gives you the strength to pass it on to somebody else. And when you pass it on to somebody else, they're dumbfounded just like you are. They're looking at you just to say, you don't know what you're talking about. But that's when your faith and belief kicks in. And when he shows up, he always shows out. He gives you what you want because he knows your heart. He knows who you are. And to get that kind of assurance in God, you have to follow him. He's everything in your life. You're nothing without him. He's so glorious, so powerful in what he does in your life, in your spiritual walk. And to listen to these words and to listen to the things that went on in the biblical times, those same things are going on right now. We're being tested right now with this virus. But we know when it's all over, he's going to get the victory. He's going to show us, if you don't throw in the towel, you keep the faith and you trust God in everything you do. In everything you do. And Pastor, that sermon you preached Sunday morning, when you hung up off that phone, we had church all over again.
Amen. Amen.
Because we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what you preached about. We had lived it. We had done it for the least of them.
That's right.
Beat somebody. Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do that? In your spiritual walk, talking is cheap when it comes to God. He's going to ask you, what did you do? What did you do? Did you do this? Did you do that? We had a testimony, and it all reflected down through the years of your life as a Christian. It just didn't start. So when you're tested, you always, if you do it God's way, you're going to have a testimony.
Amen.
I thank you all for this because it just thrills my soul to know we have a Savior that has not let us down.
And amen.
He doesn't intend for us to let him down either. You have to be strong. You have to know him and love him. And love, what did you say? Your neighbor.
Amen.
Love your neighbor. And I love you all. I get a, when I leave here tonight, you've made my day.
Bless you.
Because we are joint heirs.
Amen.
Sharing the blessings of God, which keeps me going. It keeps me going. And I thank you all over and over again. And I thank my Heavenly Father.
Amen.
We have the children of God sharing his word every Thursday night.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. And Dr. G, that's going to do it for us tonight. You have final comments and close out in prayer, please.
Well, I think pretty much everyone has pretty much said it, but what I would say is that when the tests from God come down, they're going to be real. And if we are serious about our lives in Christ, we'll have a powerful testimony. But this thing is real, and that's the only way that we can do it. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord, for just another evening that you have blessed us with. Father, we thank you for the time that we've spent in your word learning about Saul and Ananias. Lord, we thank you for all that we've pulled out from it. Father, help us now that to apply that word to our lives. Father, we come before you right now praying for the world. We pray, Lord, for this COVID-19. But Father, for those that are in Christ, we're not worried about where it's going or where it's come from. But Father, we thank you for the test, and we thank you for the testimony that you've given us. Now, Lord, help us to be better today than what we were yesterday. And Lord, whatever your will is, just let it be done. For we do ask it all right now in the blessed name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll hear from you and see you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.